Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Basically Blind. I'm your host, Avery. This is a podcast where I share my experience living with vision loss and other disabilities, and we also discuss topics around diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. I feel like that intro was a very good just kind of summary of how my day is going. I feel like I have just been tripping through this entire day. Everyone has these days, and I know it, and I'm having one of those days where nothing big goes wrong, you know? There's just like a lot of little things that go wrong. And if it was just a day where maybe one or two of those things happened, it's fine. But when like five or more little things happen, it really starts to pile up and it just kind of grounds you down. And that's kind of where I am right now. And when I look back on the things that are annoying me and causing me to kind of be in a little bit more of a sour mood today, they're trivial. And I know they're trivial. And then that makes me in a worse mood because I know it's not worth it, but I'm still annoyed. I'll just like walk through what it is. It's like you wake up. You just kind of wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And for me, I had a great night's sleep. I had a great amount of like steps and activity yesterday that was tracked by my fitness tracker. And so I was really feeling good about that. But I woke up and I was freezing. And I'm one of those people that like I hate being cold. So waking up feeling that way just wasn't ideal. Then there was just a bunch of emails, a bunch of like tiny things that needed to be addressed, but they were still pressing. And then you have a few things that are kind of looming overhead that you know you need to get done, but you have these other things that are a little bit more time sensitive. So once again, you're having to push those off and you don't want to. And then there's this other level of things that had been planned for a while that just didn't work out. So again, this is so trivial. Cam, my husband, if you're new to the podcast, Cam and I have made some decisions to kind of try to upgrade our lives. You know, we did that thing where we looked at what don't we like? Can we improve it? And one way that we're trying to improve our lives is by trying to level up our bedding situation. Now, let me say, we have an amazing mattress. Amazing. It was not cheap at all. It's Lisa. Lisa's the brand, and it's their hybrid mattress. So it's part foam, part spring. It's amazing. Amazing. I did not want to spend that amount of money. I resisted spending that amount of money. And we had a terrible mattress. And if there is one piece of furniture you are going to invest in, have it be your mattress. Let's say that. So we have a great mattress. We have really nice sheets that feel good. But the thing that we thought we could upgrade was our comforter situation. We were using a coverlet. We thought we could get something a little bit nicer. And so from the same company that I bought the sheets, I bought a comforter and a duvet. And I went bold. I did something I've always wanted to do. And I'm going with an all-white bed situation. The sheets, the comforter, the duvet, it's all white. And then I have like a gray blanket that sits over the top of it that's really fuzzy and nice and serves as a protector in a way, because we do have a dog and a cat that like to jump up every once in a while into the bed. The cat pretty much treats it like it's his bed. So I was very excited for this. Today was going to be the day. It arrived a while back. Today was going to be the day we finally used it. And it was today because our dog, George, was going to the groomer. So he'd be fresh and clean, no dirty paws. And something happened at the groomer where they called. They had to cancel because the groomer was out. There was some sort of an accident or injury, which sounds horrifying. So George didn't go today. And then I was putting together the comforter and the duvet, and it's been years since we've had an actual comforter. I forgot how awful getting a comforter insert inside of a duvet properly is. And I have probably spent at least a full hour, hour and a half wrestling with this thing. You know, it has ties and everything. So that's in place. I flipped it inside out. I've been shaking it. It's just, it's such a pain. And then I was on a call that ended up going much longer. So I ended up missing another meeting. So it's just, you know, like I said, it's all trivial. It's all small. There are people out there that have way bigger problems than this. And I know that. And that's valid. But the fact that I'm in not a great mood right now, that's valid too. And we can make space for that. There is the possibility for two truths to exist at the same moment. And that's where we're at. So that's where I am. However, what is putting me in a better mood is what I wanted to talk about today. So this episode's coming out the last week of the month. And most times, not in December, because we did the family stone that time right near Christmas. But most times I share a resource, and I usually share it out at the very beginning of the month and talk it up. I didn't do that this month. That's because I had a resource shared with me that I really liked, and it's super short. So it doesn't require a ton of pre-work. It's not a whole book. It's not a whole movie. It's a very, very short YouTube video. And I've gone ahead and I've linked that in the description for the podcast episode. And I've also posted that to the Facebook page as well. So if you want to watch that before I discuss it, feel free to pause the episode here. Pause. And then once you've watched it, coming back and listening to the rest of this. So for those of you who wanted to see it, I will assume that at this point you have watched it now and you've returned. What this video does is it is a animation that in a very clever way demonstrates the social model of disability. And it is something that I haven't necessarily referred to as the social model a lot, but I've referred to a ton. And the idea behind the social model of disability is the fact that there is nothing wrong with anyone who has a disability. It's just the fact that society and the environments that we live in exclude us, and they weren't made for us. And so we're put at a disadvantage and we're seen as there being something wrong with us. And that's not the case at all. You know, I'm a very firm believer if people are able to get the accommodations that they need and they're able to play to their strengths, we'll have you, that there's absolutely no reason why everyone can't have the opportunity to have a fulfilling and thriving life. But many people aren't given that opportunity, whether it has to do with disability or whether it has to do with another identity that they hold that has historically been oppressed over time. So that could be race, that could be your gender, that could be your socioeconomic status, that could be the level of education that you've had. You know, how many job postings out there are there that It says that you have to have a minimum of a bachelor's degree. And honestly, I have been in jobs where I don't necessarily know if a bachelor's degree is necessary to be able to fulfill the duties within that. I went to college. I learned a lot in the classroom. I feel like I learned even more about myself. I think that that's a time period in general where people learn a lot about themselves. But when it came to me getting a job, I mean, social skills, yes, that I learned in college, those came in very handy, being more self-reliant, which was something that definitely came out of college. I can't point to a lot of coursework necessarily, except for if I was called upon to write up a press release or if someone wanted me to write an article and, you know, I had learned inverted pyramid style within school in my journalism classes. I mean, I can think of like three or four classes that I can pull from that taught me things that I directly had to apply into my job. Everything else was learned through internships and work experience. So, you know, the fact that there is this barrier around you have to have this level of education to be considered, it's not equitable. And I don't necessarily think it's necessary either. So that was quite the tangent about that. But it's something that has been bothering me for a while. But in general, with the social model, you know, showing how environments and society, like that's really where the problem is. It's not with the individual. This animation in this YouTube video, it kind of turns it on its head a little bit, because normally it would show you the perspective of like, oh, this is how a person with a disability is left out of society. But instead, what they did in this video is that they showed a town where the residents all had a physical disability and they were all in wheelchairs and they were the ones in charge. And they were the ones that made all the decisions. And so they designed the world and the town that they live in to best serve them. So the doors, they weren't, you know, 7-8 feet tall anymore. They were like 5 feet, because if you're in a wheelchair, you don't need a door to be that high. Counters were lower. You know, everything was built in a way where it is accessible and it is comfortable for them. And it serves their needs best. Makes sense. And the video goes on to show how then able-bodied people or people without a mobility disability come to the town. And they start existing within the town alongside of the people in wheelchairs. And they keep bumping their head into the door because the door frames are too short for them. And they're getting back pain from having to stoop down at these counters and it's causing all these problems. And they show how, you know, the people in wheelchairs were very concerned about this. And so, you know, they got together and they discussed it and they had lectures about it and they started nonprofits around how to best serve these able-bodied people, these poor people that just, they can't function well. And what is wrong with them? And they design helmets for them to help, you know, help them not injure themselves as much when they hit their heads. And they start collections and, you know, figure out like, what is the problem with the able-bodied people? And at the very end, you know, it goes through this whole thing. And at the very end, it goes, but then eventually it dawned on the able-bodied people that there was nothing wrong with them. It was just that this town, the environment, and the society was not built in a way where they could easily be successful. It wasn't built for them. And some people might watch this and they might not think it's funny. I think it's funny and entertaining just because it's so real. Like, it's so accurate to how I feel moving through life a lot of the time. There are talks about like things to do to improve accessibility when it comes to voting. And I'm currently on for King County elections. I sit on a disability advisory committee. And one of the main pieces of discussion to make things more accessible to everyone to be able to vote has to do around the fact that in the state of Washington, King County, you have to have a written signature on your ballot for it to be count. And that's how it is in a lot of places. Well, if you are visually impaired or blind, that can be very difficult to do. Also, if you have any sort of a degenerative muscle condition, or, you know, you can't grip things. So individuals that have lupus can have a hard time gripping things. You know, if you have something like Parkinson's, that over time, you know, you get tremors, they get stronger. It's going to be incredibly hard for you to write out a signature in a way that is going to match up with what's been put in the system from how it was previously. With myself, I have to spend a lot of time and effort to get my signature to a point where it looks like when I got my ID issued to me, because they go through what's in the state records with your driver's license, or in my case, since I don't drive, a state ID card as your signature. That's what they cross-reference it with. Well, when I wrote that signature, that was 13 years ago. My vision has gotten worse. It's much harder for me to be able to, you know, do a signature and match it perfectly and have it's sloppier. It's much sloppier than it used to be. And I can get called out and get the messages saying like, this doesn't match. We don't know if this is you. So we're looking for ways to be able to make it so that like electronic signatures, or there's even some talks around voice recognition technology being used as options. This is all very preliminary, but these are things that are being looked into as options. And with making things accessible for people, you have to provide as many options as humanly possible. And that's something that, you know, in this video around the social model, it's that it shows that like things were built in one way to serve one group that was the dominant group. And they never thought that it was the environment, because why would you automatically think that it's something that you've never had a problem with and has never been a barrier for you or stood in your own way? And that's the hardest part when it comes to disability justice, is an advocacy is getting those who are impacted on a daily basis, or, you know, they don't have someone in their life that they see how they're impacted, getting them to understand that this really is a problem. Because I think a lot of times when you bring up something, the attitude can be, well, that's a you problem. That's something that bothers you. That doesn't bother me. And all my friends, it doesn't bother them. So this is an isolated incident. Especially, you know, if you don't know someone, that it's easy to be able to go, well, that's isolated. That's you. We don't need to change everything just because of you. But for one person that's having that issue, there are so many other people out there where this is also a problem. And I'd argue too that, you know, it's not necessarily just disability. It said that at the top, but there are other things where the way society has been built, and maybe you're able to make it work. For a long time, I was able to just make it work, but it didn't mean it was easy. It was exhausting. Another topic that we've brought up on here before is spoon theory and the idea of just for anyone that has an identity that, you know, society makes things harder for them because of just who they are. And especially with disability or chronic illness, you have to take into account the extra energy that people are having to put forth just to get through the day. And if you don't have those extra burdens, like, it's not going to occur to you. It's kind of like, you know, when sometimes I remember when I was little and they would make you do obstacle courses and stuff in gym class. Sometimes they would make you like weigh yourself down with bean bags or sandbags to do something. And you would see that like, oh, this is so much harder when I have to carry all this extra weight. Yeah. Well, that's a very good way of being able to explain what it is going through life with an identity that isn't considered to be at the center of holding power within society. You're having to walk through life carrying a lot of extra weight. And it makes it so you can't move as fast and you can't do as much. And maybe you're able to quickly run to the other side of the room, but when you get there, you are so much more winded. You need more water. You need a little extra time for a break. But anyone else not carrying that weight, they don't need that. And they're slowly creeping ahead of you every step of the way. And, you know, we need to be able to find ways as a society to be able to create that equity where there are ways that you can still make it. You know, maybe you have that weight, but there's those extra breaks. Everyone just takes a chance to take the breaks. Everyone gets the opportunity for the extra water. So if you need it, it's there. And maybe what's going to help you the most is part of the way you get a scooter, you know? I mean, I'm really taking this like example of, you know, someone with beanbags like pretty far, but that's the idea where it's just the way that things are built right now. And that video just does such a clever job of explaining it very succinctly and in a way that I hadn't seen it explained before. You know, a lot of the times when you're thinking about the social model of disability, it can sound so clinical and it can sound so cold. And this is like a little cheeky, and I liked it a lot. And I don't think that there is anything wrong with finding ways that to make someone kind of maybe smirk and go, huh, I never thought about it that way, as opposed to just smashing someone over the head with these statistics and, you know, making people feel bad. Like that's one of the biggest things that I hope people get out of this podcast is that I don't want people to feel bad. I don't want them to feel bad for any privileges that they have. I don't want them to feel bad for me. I don't want to feel pitied. Things have been harder for me. I acknowledge that. But I have a good life. Like, I have a lot of things to be very happy about, and I am. But again, it's like I said at the beginning when I was so frustrated about how my day has been going. Two things can equally exist. I can be happy for my life and know that I have a very good life and be thankful for that. But at the same time, I can also be very frustrated for things that I've had to put up with that I wouldn't have to if I was able-bodied or if I was a man, you know? And that's just what I want people. I want to raise awareness. I want people to kind of think about how could I make this better? How could I design this better? You know, going into universal design theory, how can I make this so that it is as enjoyable and accessible to as many people as possible? Whether that is a physical structure, whether that is a street, whether that is a program, the way a presentation is being put on, all of those things. Like, how can I involve it so that as many people as possible are going to be able to get the most out of this? That's what I want from this podcast. I just want people to stop and think about others that are different from them, that have different needs, and try to prioritize that and put that on the same level as just how things have been. Because the pandemic really shined a light on the fact that the way that we have been doing things, we were all just so used to it. But it doesn't mean that things can't be done differently and you can still be successful. And sometimes when you're forced to do things differently, you discover that you actually maybe didn't like the way something was before. And I think one of the strongest examples that we're seeing from a lot of people is working remotely. If you are able to do your job remotely, it is very hard to wrap your head around why exactly you should have to commute in and go into an office when you can have that time back in your life, when you're actually able to create a nice, I don't want to say work-life balance, but you're able to fold the two into one another really well. You're able to have that time really, really focus and get your tasks done. But then, you know, maybe since you don't have someone just watching you, you also have that freedom to step away from your desk, go take a walk, make yourself a coffee, make yourself a nice lunch instead of just feeling the need to work through lunch. And, you know, go spend some time hugging on your little dog. Like, that just is such a mood booster. Meditate. You know, you're able to have a more balanced life when it comes to like wellness and it feeling fulfilled. And I think that you're also able to kind of just fully be you, you know, like work you and home you are now more of the same person. And not having to go back and forth between the two of those. And some people might use the word code switch in this situation. It's not code switch. It's just more of the fact that you have to be more on in work. And then there's this other more like honestly authentic version of yourself that you reserve for yourself, and being able to bring both of those together and finding this happy medium, that's really powerful. And a lot of people now, they don't want to go back to the way things were. And I think that that's how it would be too if universal design, when it comes to just society and environments and the working world, careers, all of that, education, if it was applied there. I think people might not think that it's possible or that it would be successful, but if we actually put it into practice, a lot of people will take a step back and go, oh, you know what? I actually like this better. I didn't realize how much I hated doing XYZ before, but it's just because I hadn't experienced anything differently. So I'm going to leave it with that. I'm going to leave it with that. I know that we've had a number of podcasts that have honestly been 45 minutes to an hour lately, and we're not there. We're just around half an hour, and I think that it's a good place to stop. As always, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It means so much to me. Make sure that you've subscribed to the podcast on whatever platform you prefer listening to it on, that you've rated, you've reviewed the podcast so other people can easily discover it and find it. Make sure you're telling people about it, please. Like, you can make such a difference amplifying this podcast to other people if you find this helpful. Make sure you follow us on social media. We have a Facebook page as well as an Instagram at BasicallyBlindPod. And as always, I will see you next time. Bye.